We present Tony Hancock, Sidney James, Bill Kerr, Hattie Jakes, and Kenneth Williams in
Hancock's Half Hour. Morning, Miss Pugh. Any correspondence for me to answer today?
Yes, your income tax demand.
Oh, not again. What are they playing at? I wrote on the last one, not known at this address.
Well, they've sent it back, and there's a little note. What address would you like it sent to? Why don't you pay up? They're on to you.
I thought I had them last time. When they asked my nationality, I told them I was Burmese.
Burmese?
Well, I was born in Birmingham. Requires my attention. Final demand water rates, final demand gas bill, final demand electric light, final demand telephone. Well, they've had that lot. I'll go to bed after a cold dinner and I won't use any of it. See who gives in first. What's this rubbish here? The contents of this envelope are worth money. Hello, we've clicked, I'm rich. Where's me swordfish letter opener? Ha ha ha, money. Stone me a soap coupon. Take this coupon round to your friendly grocer and you can buy a 1 and 9 penny packet of skin for 1 and 8 pence 8 penny.
Hiya, Tub.
Don't interrupt me, William. I'm attending to my business affairs.
Oh, yeah. Well, you go ahead, Tub. I'll just sit down here and I won't say a thing until you've finished.
Thank you. Now, Miss Pugh, I want you to write to the coal board and complain about the last lot we had dumped in the kitchen. Say, Dear sir, how dare you send in a bill for such rubbish as the last delivery of Best Kitchen Nut to the above address? Not only would it not burn, it put the stuff that was already burning out. I refuse to pay this bill until the quality improves, and I would take it as a favor if you...
I went down to the cafe this morning for a cup of tea.
Not now, William. I'm busy.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Take it as a favor if you would speak to the coal miner concern and tell him to watch where he's putting his pick. Yours sincerely, A. Hancock, favourite of stage, screen and radio, currently appearing Tuesdays and Thursdays in the saloon bar at the Hand and Racket Cheam. Available March and April for pithead concerts. Then take a letter to...
Oh, he's put him up again. What? The jam turnovers.
Where?
At the cafe. I was down there this morning for a cup of
yes,
tea.
Yes, all right, William.
Well, I'm sorry if you're still busy.
Yes.
Oh, carry on. Don't let me interrupt.
Thank you. Take a letter to the baker. Say, Dear sir, how dare you send in a bill for such rubbish as you've been delivering to me for the last 12 months? I expect my sliced loaves to be sliced in more than 3 places. This wouldn't do your business any good if I spread this about, so I suggest we forget the bill and start again. Yours sincerely, A. Hancock, favourite of stage, screen and radio, currently appearing
on... Tuesdays and Thursdays in the saloon bar at the Hand and Racket. Available March and April for baker's concerts.
Yes. Mm. Write to all the other tradesmen complaining about their produce and refuse to pay the bill till it improves. Might put them off for a couple of weeks.
Oh, there's a letter from the landlord of the Hand and Racket. He refuses to pay your fee until you improved the act.
Hoisted with me own petard. Oh, dearie, I'll sue him. What's next, Miss Pugh?
Your insurance card.
Oh, yes. How much do you want?
£278.35.
Never. It's ridiculous.
It's not ridiculous. You haven't bought a stamp for 13 years.
And I don't intend to start now. I am not buying any health stamps.
You'll go to prison.
One of the boys down at the cafe has just come out of prison. He spoke quite highly of it.
Look, why don't you go down and watch the workmen? They're pulling the biscuit factory down. That should keep you occupied for a few weeks.
Well, I did promise Harry and Fred I'd go back down the cafe and have another cup of
tea. Well, go on then.
Well, shall I say you'll be coming down later?
Yes, yes.
Oh, what a full active life you two lead. Haven't you ever thought about getting a job?
Get a job and interfere with my career at the Hand and Racket? You must be mad. On the verge of stardom. I'm being promoted to the washboard next week.
2 nights a week. And that's only if they can get the piano lid open. What sort of a career is that?
It earns my keep, and that's all I want.
Earns your keep? Not even enough to pay for your health stamp.
I told you, I don't believe in health stamps. Write and tell the Minister of Health I'm not joining.
You're very silly. You must be insured.
No, Miss Pugh, it costs far too much.
Insurance is essential. You never know when tragedy will strike. Supposing the house burns down, it's not insured. You won't get any compensation.
That's true.
And the contents. They should be insured, too, in case they get stolen.
What do you mean, me stuffed eagle and me brass bedstead and me camel saddle television chair?
Certainly. It'll cost you a lot to replace all that.
Yes, I hadn't looked at it that way. I mean, there's some valuable stuff here. There's me tin of shrapnel I collected during the war. Then there's me cigarette cards. I've got a complete set of cricketers, English freshwater fish, and ceremonial uniforms of the British Empire. They're worth a few bob, I can tell you.
Well, of course. Then what about your life? Supposing you die tomorrow, you wouldn't get a penny.
Oh, you are half morbid. Can't we get back to the broken fingers and the house burning down?
Or then again, we could go and look at the all next week pictures outside the cinema.
I thought you'd gone. I'm not standing around looking at any pictures.
All right, then we'll go inside. Lend us 1 and 6 and I'll go in and open the exit doors for you.
For the last time, stop interrupting. What Miss Pugh is saying is very important. I haven't realized it before, but I have absolutely no security. I'm living on the brink of disaster. I must take out some insurance policies, then we can lay about with impunity.
She's quite right. Everybody should carry insurance. I got a policy.
Well, there you are, if he's got one.
Wait a minute. You've got an insurance policy?
Sure. My mother took one out for me when I was 3 for a penny a week.
I bet you've had a job keeping the payments up, haven't you?
Yeah, but it was worth it. I got security. And if I die, I'm worth £6.10.
Dear me, I bet Lloyd's of London get in a panic when you're laid up. My word, shares dropping like stones. Penny a week, get out of it.
Well then, what are you going to do?
I don't mind admitting you've got me worried. It won't do any harm going into it to see what they've got to offer. Ring up the insurance company and ask them to send a man round. If you want me in the meantime, I shall be sitting on the parapet of the railway bridge with my spotter's handbook.
Hey, did you have any luck with the railway engines, Tub?
No, I did not. Miss Pugh, take a letter to British Railways. Yes, sir. I should like you to reprimand the driver of the engine who saw me sitting on the parapet of Cheam Bridge and deliberately let off a jet of boiler not steam as he went under. I'm enclosing a bill for a new suit and a set of underclothes. Also, please return my spotter's handbook, which was last seen landing in a coal truck on its way to Crewe. Yours sincerely, Anthony Hancock, available for railway man's concerts.
Right you are. Oh, the man from the insurance company is outside.
Oh, good. Ask him to come in.
Would you come in, please?
Hello, Hancock.
Tid, I can't stop now. I've got some business to attend to. The insurance man's waiting outside.
That's me, son. I represent the Sydney James Friendly Accident Society.
I'm not interested in your accidents, friendly or otherwise. I bid you good day.
Now, wait a minute. You haven't heard what I've got to offer yet. Your secretary told me you want to take out some insurance, and here I am. I can accommodate you with any sort of policy you want, all forms of cover.
If I'd known it was you, I'd have taken cover before you got here, mate. I'm not interested.
How would you like $6,000 a year, tax-free at the age of 98?
You're not taking much chance, are you?
Only cost you 300 nicker a year.
What would I do with 6,000 a year at 98?
You could pay for some monkey gland treatment.
Very ingenious. I don't want any monkey glands inside me. Horrible, hairy things. One should be dignified at that age, sitting out on the porch in one's rocking chair, not swinging from the chandelier, playing in jazz bands.
All right, come here, don't go away. I can see I was wrong trying to push a policy like that on a man of your intelligence. Obviously, you're no mug.
I'm not.
And that is why my company has brought out a special policy for suspicious petty, for people who have yet to be convinced on the wisdom of taking out a life insurance. Now, here it is. The SJ, that's my initials. The SJ Group Planning Sliding Income Combined Life Comprehensive Endowment and Tax Saving Policy.
How much?
How much do you earn?
£10 a week.
Now, that's a coincidence. The premium is exactly 10 nickel a week.
Yeah, but wait a minute. If it all goes in insurance, what do I live on?
Now, that's where the beauty of this policy comes in. You are insured against not having enough money to live on after paying the premiums. Now, we pay you 30 bob a week for as long as you hold the policy.
There you are. The gentleman's trying to help you.
I see. So, I pay £10 a week and get 30 bob back to live on.
That's it.
And what do I get for the other £8.10?
Full comprehensive insurance for life.
Well, what does that cover?
You don't half-ask a lot of questions, do you? You're insured against being struck by lightning, being run over by steamrollers, falling down lift shafts, run down by stampeding cattle, assassination, and that's quite a risk in your line of business. Sunstroke, frost and snake bites, and earthquakes.
All the little hazards that one must expect to come across in everyday life in Britain.
Exactly.
What about my life?
He can insure that too.
Of course I can. 10 bob a week extra.
But I can't afford any more insurance.
You've got the 30 bob a week we give you as compensation for the heavy premiums. You can put 10 bob away a week for life insurance. What's 10 bob? 3 packets of cheap fags. Do you mean to tell me your life isn't worth 3 packets of cheap fags to you?
Well, no, it's not that
like. I see. You're a nicotine slave. You can't give it up. Well, if you're a heavy smoker, we'll have to put the premiums up. That'll be an extra dollar.
So now I've only got 15 bob a week to live on.
15 bob a week. Now, that'll mean you won't eat proper. It'll lower your resistance to disease. You're too much of a risk. I'm afraid we'll have to put the premiums up again. That'll be another dollar.
10 bob a week left. Well, bang goes me pint of beer on a Saturday.
Oh, what a shame. Of course, we all like our pint, don't we?
Well, I do. I was a champion. Never off it. They used to carry me out when they closed at night, and in the morning I used to fall in and start again.
How long did this go on?
Oh, 3 years.
I bet that didn't do you any good. Your liver must be in a shocking state. Have to put the premiums up for that. That'll be another 10 bob a week.
Oh, that's it. I'm broke.
Yes, but you're insured against being broke after paying the premium.
Yes, but he's at it, girl. 30 bob a week. If he wants it to be more than that, he's got to pay a bigger premium.
So, in a nutshell, my £10 a week wages are all gone on the insurance policy, so I've got to get a better job so I'll have enough money to pay the increased premium, which entitles me to more compensation, which I need because I haven't got enough to live on after paying the ordinary policy without the compensation in the first place.
Providing you're passed fit by our doctors.
So how much am I paying now?
Wait a minute, let me see. That's £13.14 a week.
I see. I earn £10 a week. That means I'm going to owe you £3.14 a week. Where's that coming from?
Now, you don't want to worry about that. We deduct that from the money you receive when the policy matures at the age of 65.
You see?
Yes. That means I'll be out of debt.
Certainly.
So how much will I get at 65 now?
Let me see now. That's it. £4.6 and 11.
Wait a minute. You sure you can't give me some better terms than this? Something where I'll have a little bit of pocket money left?
Here he goes, always expecting something for nothing.
Oh, I'm sorry, son. And no other company will give you any better terms. Not when you're a smoker and a drinker and you don't eat anything.
Well, I suppose I'll have to do it somehow. I've got to be insured, otherwise I might be ruined one day.
Now, there speaks a sensible man.
I can't take out a policy against being caught by insurance agents, can I?
What a sense of humor the fool's got. There we are, son. Sign a proposal form. There, and there.
Ah, I suppose I'm doing the right thing.
Of course you are. I've always believed in insurance. Everybody should be insured.
Good girl. I'll split the commission with you.
There you are.
That's it. You are now a member of the happy family of insurance payers. All cares and worries lifted from their shoulders and taken over by a trained staff of public benefactors.
Hooray.
All you've got to do now is go down to our offices and have a medical.
Good morning, Doctor. This won't take long. I think you'll find the cardiac tubes and the blood sedimentation rate normal. The epiglottis seems in order, though there is evidence of a few adhesive cystations on the pleural wall with a slight fibrosis of the intravenous duodenum, possibly psychosomatic.
Get your clothes off.
Certainly not.
Take your clothes off.
No.
Now, come on. I haven't got much time. I've got to go and examine a sick pig in Cheltenham.
A sick pig?
Yes. You see, I'm a vet, really. I got to do Mr. James' insurance work about that time. Take a clothes off.
Definitely not. I refuse to be examined by a vet.
It's all the same. Animals haven't got anything we haven't got.
Be that as it may, I'm not having you blowing horrible great pills down my throat.
I won't, Katana.
Cross your heart and hope to die.
You're all right.
All right, then I'll give you a chance. It is most important to me. It depends on your medical report whether they accept me for insurance or not.
Aren't I important?
You're pleased, aren't you?
Yes.
I thought so. You swelled visibly then.
Oh.
Your shoulders went back.
Oh, they didn't.
They did. You did, no?
Really?
Yes.
It's the first time in years.
Well, I have. Your shoulder blades are overlapping at the back. You ever in the guards?
No.
Well, I am surprised. Apart from being 18 inches too small, you've got just the build for it. Yeah. Fine figure of a man.
Oh, well, I am very healthy. Blood donor, you know.
I should watch him if I were you. I think they're taking too much. Now, what about this examination?
Well, the first thing to do is to weigh you. You've got a penny.
A doctor's office shouldn't have scales like that. You should have one with weights.
Yes, well, if you'd rather, we could pop down to the greengrocer's. You won't mind.
I'm not going to climb up on a barrow in the high street. Here's a penny. Get on with it.
Right, then. Stand on.
I don't like this at all. It's not right being examined by a vet. What have I got in common with a pig in Cheltenham?
Well, you weigh the same for the start.
Never.
Yes, you do. It says so on this little card. Oh.
What?
Your lucky color's green.
How very gay.
It says you're strong, forthright, got a sterling character, and a generous disposition.
Well, that's quite true.
Shall I get on the scale and see what I am?
Save yourself a penny, I can tell you that.
And I'm going to give you a thorough examination. Now, you see, where is your heart?
It's there somewhere. I can hear it beating. There it is. Look, you can see my skin going in and out.
Oh, yes. Isn't the human body marvelous? All those little bits in there combining with each other to make one big bit.
He's attended all the lectures, you can see that.
I did, yes. My mother took in washing. My mother took in washing. She went out scrubbing, saved every penny she had to send me to medical school.
Oh, I am sorry. What a waste of money. Come on, get on with it.
All right, now the next thing I suppose to do is to have a listen in, isn't it?
Yes, why not? Pass a few minutes.
Let's see now. Now, it's no good. I can't examine you standing up. I'm used to animals. Who get down on your hands and knees?
What for?
Well, I'll know where everything is, Ben.
This is most undignified.
Oh, that's better. That's much better. Here.
What?
Where do you keep your liver?
I have no choice. It is just here. You ought to know that.
It's very difficult. I'm used to looking at a lot of feathers and stuff. Say 99.
99.
Again?
99.
Again?
99.
Well, nothing wrong with your voice, is there? Can't put that down. Your lungs all right, your heart's all right. Apart from a slight touch of foul test, I think you should pass. I'll send the report in. You'll be getting your policy within a few days.
Thank you very much. I do hope the pig gets well.
If he doesn't, I'll send you a bit.
You're most kind. And now, if you'll excuse me, I shall put my shirt front on and leave. It's been a great honor to meet you, sir.
Yeah.
I've got a sick Alsatian at home, so if you're ever down my way...
Yeah?
I'll set him on to you. Very good morrow to you.
Hey, Tubby, you coming down to the cafe for a cup of tea?
No, I can't afford it. I've got my insurance premiums to keep up.
A letter for you, Mr. Hancock.
The inland revenue. They won't take no for an answer, will they? What now?
A bill for £1,500 back income tax payable not later than next week. Or jail for a period not exceeding 5 years.
I've told them I'm not eligible. I'm Burmese.
Oh, well, they've ruled that if you earn your money in this country, you have to pay tax in this country.
I haven't got £1,500. I haven't got anything. All I've got is an insurance policy and... Insurance policy. Now, where's my insurance policy? £2,000 compensation for any of the following. Being struck by lightning.
Mr. Hancock, come in out of the rain.
No!
You've been sitting on top of that tree holding a metal rod for 3 hours. Come in.
Now, with a bit of luck, I might be struck any minute. Curse, miss me again.
There you are, Bill.
Now, there's the steamroller. The driver's just gone to lunch.
Jump up in the cabin and start it up. And remember, not hard, just enough to knock me over.
Right.
You great oaf, Kerr.
Well, I didn't know it was in reverse.
Well, you can pay for that Rolls Royce yourself. Now, what's next? Frostbite. Right. Let's go home and open the fridge up. But don't forget to give me a call tomorrow morning.
Tub, it's morning. Can I open the door? Tub, are you frozen yet?
Nothing. Not a thing. Why didn't you remind me we hadn't paid the electricity bill? All I've got is cramp. I've been knocking on that door all night.
Well, what's next?
Sunstroke. No chance of that here. Snake bite. I've only got 2 days left. Quick, down to the zoo. Excuse me, are you the reptile housekeeper?
Yes, sir, I have that honor. Do you like snakes, sir?
Oh, yes, I love the little beauties. Do you think I might hold one?
I don't know, sir. I mean, you know, snakes can be very dangerous. Do you know anything about them?
Oh, yes, good grief, yes. Yes. I'm one of the greatest snakeologists in the world. Curator of the Shanghai Snake Pit. Which are your most dangerous ones?
Those little beggars over there.
Oh, I know that one, the green and yellow one with the red stripes.
Well, I'll just wrap him round your neck, sir.
Oh, thank you very much. There. Don't they feel funny? Come on, boy. Pretty boy. Come on. Come on, bite Uncle's finger. He's asleep. Bill, poke him on. Pull his tail. Wake him up. Come on, you perisher. Bite me. I'll have you into handbags if you don't get your teeth sunk in. Come on.
Mr. Sidney James to see you, Mr. Hancock.
Thank you, nurse. Ask him to come in.
This way, Mr. James.
Hello, Hancock. You sent for me?
Yes, I've been attacked by a snake. I want £2,000.
Oh, I'm sorry, son.
Well, I've got a policy. I'm insured against it.
No, you're insured against snake bites. You weren't bitten, you were crushed. It was a python. They don't bite, they crush. 7 ribs broken, I believe. No sign of a bite anywhere.
It was a snake, though.
Yes, boy, but he was a crusher. You're insured against biters, not crushers. I reckon you'll be off work about 7 weeks. How are you going to keep up your premiums?
Oh, yes, but I'm insured for being out of work. It's in the policy.
Ah, yes, but only for accidents.
Well, this was an accident.
No, it wasn't, boy. The snake did it on purpose. There's no accident. You're not covered for malicious damage. Now, if he'd killed you, we might have been entitled to something. You're in dead trouble, boy. Who's paying the hospital bills? 7 weeks or 20 a week? Then there's the snake.
What about the snake?
Well, I had to shoot him to get him off you. They're suing you for that for 300 nicker. That's his replacement value. Then I hear there's still 1,500 nicker income tax outstanding and you've lost your job at the Hand and Racket. I'm afraid you've had it, boy.
I'm afraid you'll have to go now, Mr. James. The doctor's waiting to take Mr. Hancock to the operating theatre.
So long, Hancock. Nice to have done business with you.
Wait a minute, Sidney. Would you be interested in me taking out one more policy? I'll get the premium for my mother.
Certainly. What's it for?
This operation. I want to be insured against my ribs being joined up to the wrong ones and things being left inside me.
All right, son. I'll insure you against that. A pleasure.
£5,000?
Certainly. Sign here.
All right.
Yeah. Money down the drain. You really are a sucker. Things being left inside you. It's a shame to take your money.
Doctor's here, Mr. Hancock.
Evening. Are you ready? Take your clothes off.
I'll be out in a fortnight to collect it, Sid. You'll probably leave half the hospital inside me. Lead on, McDuff.
That was Hancock's Half Hour, starring Tony Hancock with Sidney James, Bill Kerr, Hattie Jakes, and Kenneth Williams. Theme and incidental music composed and conducted by Wally Stott. The show written by Alan Simpson and Ray Galton. The program, which was recorded, was produced by Tom Ross. Thank you.